We're going to take a break from our study through the Gospel of Luke to do continue a series that I started back in October. A series that originally was born out of the idea that there are things that we do in the church that not everybody understands. That, you know, we live our lives the way that we do. You know, 6 days a week, we go about work and play and whatever else we're doing. And then we show up on Sunday morning and we do these things that don't relate to anything else we do in our life. They're just different. And sometimes they're weird. I can go back to a time. I can remember back to a time. I've shared my testimony. I was saved at 40. So I have 40 years of history of not being around the church and any of that stuff. When I showed up at church, I had no idea what people were doing. It made no sense to me, a lot of it. And some of it was just plain weird. And so we live in a time and a culture now where that's even more pronounced than it was when I first started going to church. There are people that just it's just different. It's unusual. And so this series has the idea we want to communicate and so that we understand why we do these things, because we view these things as important. You know, if they weren't important, we wouldn't do them, right? I mean, does that make sense? We would do something different. We would do something that everybody understood. Everybody gets it. You know, everybody likes the idea of it and whatever. But we do these things because we believe they're important. And so we want to communicate why they're important. But not only that, you know, for some of you who've been in your church, been Kelly, my wife, born in the church, I think. I don't know. A long time she was in the church. Yeah, my son, certainly, you know, most of his life, he's been associated with the church. And so, you know, they get a lot of that stuff. But even then, do you really understand why we do these things? And I would challenge you that very often we get very comfortable in our faith. This thing we call Christianity, these things, we start doing them and we forget why we do them. And they start to lose meaning. And our faith isn't grown, isn't stretched as a result of it. So that's the origin of this particular series. We call it What's Important, and that's what we're going to talk about. What's one of the things that we think are important, and we've gone through several of them so far, five of them so far. The very first one is what's important about the Bible. You know, why is it that we think that this book is important? And we do. We base everything we do off of this book. You know, if we can't back up what we do based on what this book says, then we don't do it. And if we go to make a decision, it's got to line up with this book. Why do we do that? Why do we study the way we do? And why do we teach the way we do? And so we talked about that. The second one we talked about was worship. Why do we do what Justin just led us in right now? Why do we do that? It's important, and it has a purpose and a use. And so we talked about that. We talked about prayer, right? You show up at church, people pray, right? That kind of like one of the things we do. We talked about why we do that, what's important about it. You know, it's about talking with God, about communicating with God. We talked about community. As people, we are created to be connected to other people. And we talked about the importance, as Christians, to be connected to other Christians. God wants to meet your needs. Do you acknowledge that? God wants to meet your needs. Did you know he wants to do it through other people? You know, very often he does it directly to us, but very often, you know, commonly, regularly, he's doing it through other people. We need to be connected to other people in the body of Christ, in the church, so that God can meet our needs, whatever those are, spiritual, physical, material, relational, emotional. Did I already say that one? No, emotional. I don't know. There's a lot of those things. I keep forgetting them. God wants to do that through community. And the last one we did, the fifth one we did, was on communion. You know, once a month we do this thing we call a sacrament. And it's a holy act. Why do we do that? What's the significance of it? That, to me, when I first started going to church, that was the weirdest one of all. You know, they're talking about weird stuff and these plates are going by. And I was letting them go by because that was, I don't know what they're doing, but I don't want any part of it. Now it has become something very precious and powerful to me because I understand it. And I would encourage you to understand it as well. So if you missed any of those, it's all up on, you know, go to ccfe.life. I put a link up there so you can go back and see all of them. Catch up on them. If any of them are not clear to you, go back and watch it. We should be clear on these things. We should understand. When we show up at church on Sunday morning, we understand why we do the things that we do, because it becomes more meaningful to us, and it can transform our lives if we understand it better. And we cooperate with what the Holy Spirit is trying to accomplish through those things. It's important that we do that. Today, we're going to get into the sixth message in that series, and it's probably one of those ones that it's often misunderstood, and it's one of those ones that even as when I was an unbeliever, I really misunderstood. And even people that are familiar with church things are, you know, they don't always understand exactly what it is that we're going to talk about today. So let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we do ask, Lord, for your leading here as we talk about this particular topic today. And for some, this can be a very emotional topic. And they've got experience or biases that I so understand, because I had many of them myself. And so I pray, Lord, that you would allow us to have ears to hear what you would say to us, that you would make this so clear to us that we would get it, God, what it is that you want to say to us. I know we would allow our biases to be overruled by truth, and we'd allow your word to minister to our hearts in such a way that we would walk away from this message changed people. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and we give it up to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Maybe you still have your bookmarks there, because that's where we've been. Interestingly, you know, the board, yeah, we met a few weeks ago, I guess about a month ago, and we actually talked about me teaching this message. So we scheduled this. We talked about it, so I dropped it into the schedule to occur on this particular Sunday. And then last week in the message, I gave the perfect opening. I talked about the perfect opening for this message. Like it was a coincidence that God had me teach last week's message before this week's message. God does that kind of stuff. So he gave me a starting point in this. We talked about last week, I talked about the seven traits of a true disciple. Remember that? Seven traits of a true disciple. The sixth of those seven traits is the basis upon which this message is really built upon. So let's read that. The sixth trait was in verse 30. That's in Luke chapter 6, verse 30. It says, give to everyone who asks of you. One of the traits of a true disciple is they give freely. They are generous. They're generous. They have a generous spirit that when it comes time to help or to give, they are inclined to generosity. That's one of the traits of a true disciple, is this inclination toward giving, toward meeting the needs of others, that when there's a choice of do I do this for me or do I do this for others, they're more inclined to help others, to give to others, to support and to encourage and to do these different things for others. So that's the basis of this message. One of the traits of a true disciple is generosity. Every week, without fail, we do something in the church that some people probably don't really get what we're doing here. And that is, somebody comes up here and they make an invitation for people to give. Right? You guys have been here more than once. You've seen that happen, because it happens every single week. Typically, it happens when? Before I start talking. Right? How many of you are freaking out right now? Because we didn't do it. Like, wait a minute, they skipped something. That's not the order that things are supposed to go in. It's supposed to go a certain way every single time. I love messing you guys up. I really do. It's something weird about me. You know, somebody comes up, he makes an invitation to give, then we pass those bags, you know, down the aisles, and people drop things into it. They drop, you know, cash, they drop checks, they drop, you know, these little envelopes in there. You know, they're putting stuff in there. Why do we do that? Why is it important? What does it mean to me as an individual? Our topic today is what's important about giving. Before I was saved, I was convinced all religion had one objective. to get my money. I was convinced. I would watch the televangelists on TV, and every message had one theme. You need to send me your money so you can be blessed. Everyone! I was convinced. That's what it was. All religion had that one focus in mind. Didn't matter what the message was about, eventually we're talking about money. And if you want to be blessed in this life, you need to send me your money. The more money you send me, the more blessed you're going to be. Right? I mean, we heard that, right? I was convinced that's what it was all about. I have come to realize there's a lot more to it than that. And there are people out there that are taking advantage of those people that God is doing a work in, and God will make them generous, and there are people out there who will take advantage of them. And to this day, people are still taking advantage of those that they shouldn't be. And they will give an accounting to God for that when that happens. I'm not going to worry about them. But I want you to understand what this thing that we call giving is all about. And typically, we focus on the wrong thing. And so I want to refocus you on what giving is all about so that when you do it in a way that accomplishes what God is hoping to accomplish in it and through it. Okay? Is that okay if we do that? All right. I'm going to give you three reasons today why we should be generous people. Three reasons. Three main reasons, and almost everything you can imagine kind of falls into those three. Three reasons why we ought to be generous people. As Christians ought to be generous. Now, while we can't separate the topic of generosity from a discussion about money, you need to understand that's not what it's about. When we talk about generosity, there is an aspect of it where it involves money, but that's not the main point of generosity. But before we look at the three reasons, I want you to look at a promise in God's Word connected with generosity. Just a couple of verses past where I just read. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, which is what I'll be teaching on next week. So I'm getting you a little preview of what we'll do next week. Verse 38 says this, give. Should I need to say any more than that? It's kind of like he's telling us to do it, huh? Give. But there's more. Give. And it will be given to you. What is it? Well, I'm not really sure. But it is good, it says. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. There's a promise. That is a promise. If you're looking for a promise in the Bible, there's one right there. You got to make a note. That's a promise. You can pray and ask God to keep that promise. Recognize, of course, that it is conditional. What do you have to do first? Give. If you'll be generous, God promises to be generous back in abundance. In abundance. God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the Bible tells us. Oh, and the gold and silver under the hills is also His, who created everything in the universe as it exists today, is capable of blessing you, of providing for you, of rewarding you way more than you can imagine. And one of the mysteries of the faith, one of those things that people often wrestle with, the more willing I am to freely give to others, the more God is willing to give to me out of His abundance. That's a little hard to wrestle with. I don't know about you, but in my faith, that was one of those things I had to come to grips with and realize that is an element of faith, is an element of trusting God. There's all so many things wrapped up into it that if I had to be willing to give, just willing, not able, just willing, that God was willing to give to me. And the more willing I am, the more willing he was. It's a direct connection. It's a direct correlation between the two. Now, it's not all, we're not just talking about money and possessions and, you know, Corvettes and different things like that, where God, the way God gives in his abundance is directly related to what he knows about you, what you need, what will bless you. Typically, it's not what you think it is. Three reasons to be generous. First one, it glorifies God. It glorifies God. What does that mean, to glorify God? That's one of those terms we use in the church, but what does it mean? To glorify God is to make his presence known. When God is glorified, his existence is revealed. The world can see that he exists. That's what it means. Now, he's done that in tangible, practical, physical ways. The burning bush is one of those examples when he revealed himself in a tangible, practical way so that, you know, Moses could, you know, see that God existed in some sort of a physical way. Lots of other ways that he did it. The most profound way that God manifested his existence was whom? Jesus. God in the flesh. God took on flesh and dwelt amongst us. When he did that, that was the presence of God. That was the manifestation of God. That is God in all of his glory being manifested to us in a way that people got to actually physically see and touch and interact with. So how do we glorify God today? We manifest God's existence. We reveal God's existence by imitating his nature and traits. We glorify God when we obey him, when we do what he says. Many, many different ways that we glorify him. When we talk about God, we are glorifying him. Remember back in Luke chapter 2, it was months ago, but remember back. It's not that hard to remember. It's a familiar story. Jesus is born and the angel appears to the shepherds out in the field. You know, it says this amazing thing. Then the big heavenly choir shows up and they're singing and dancing around. And then they all go away. Shepherds say, hey, let's go see. And they run and they see this thing, that all these things are true. And then afterwards, verse 20, Luke 2:20 says this. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when we talk about God, we're glorifying him. We do it every time we reveal, we act or behave in a way that reveals the character of God. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Every time you act in a way that reflects the nature of God, reveals the nature of God, and people see it, you are glorifying God, even if they don't agree with you. You know, there are people that they'll see what you're doing and they'll get all worked up about it, won't they? You know, you do something right, you do something good, and people get upset in a weird kind of a way. They're glorifying God because they're seeing God working in your life, even if they don't like it. They're still bringing glory in a way to God. They may not know it, but that's what they're doing. Being generous glorifies God. Why? Because God is generous, right? Is God generous? Has God been generous with any of you? Anybody? Somebody say, yes, God's been generous with me once, maybe twice. Every breath that you take is a gift from God, just in case you're wondering. Romans 8:32 says this, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. God is so generous that he sent Jesus to die for us. Wow. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he gave us his son, what won't he give us? God is generous. And so when we are generous, we are glorifying God. The Apostle Paul justified the way that he lived his life based on the infinite generosity of God and Christ. And Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm living the way that I'm living because Christ died for me. Because he gave himself for me. He was so generous. He gave his life for me. The only response I can do is to live my life in the same way. I have to give my life away just like he gave his life away. God is generous. And when I allow him to help me to be generous, I am glorifying God. The people are seeing the character and nature of God when I am being generous. Even if they don't understand it, even if they don't even know that I'm a Christian, if I am being generous, they are still seeing the glory of God. Second reason to be generous. Kind of an obvious one. It blesses others. When I'm generous, it's blessing others. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. First reason is the highest reason. Really, we shouldn't need another reason than that, but there are other reasons, so we're going to talk about them. You know, not only does it glorify God, but it blesses others. In fact, one of the realities of this is you can't actually glorify God without blessing others. Think about that one for a minute. You can't actually glorify God if your life isn't blessing others. Because life is always lived out in two dimensions. It's between me and God and me and others. And if you need proof for that, go to Matthew 22 to the Great Commandment. Great Commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And another like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. Always combined, always together. You can't do one without the other. You can't actually be loving God if you're not loving others. Because God loves them, and he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to love them in the same way that we love him. It's an impossible task, but with the Holy Spirit, you can do anything, right? Say yes. Thank you. Being generous. Practically, what can you give to God? What can you walk up to God, offer him, and have him take from you? In reality, really nothing. Everything we do, if we're going to be generous, we're going to do through other people. The way I'm generous to God, with God, is by being generous with other people. The more generous I am with other people, the more I am glorifying God, the more generous I am being in relation to his nature. When I'm generous, I'm expressing the generosity of God, and I'm also expressing my trust in him. Every time I'm generous with others, thinking of others before I think of myself, I am trusting him with something. Right? Doesn't that make sense? To be actually generous with something? You know, generous implies, you know, abundance. You know, giving something that I might rightfully keep for myself, to be generous is to give it to someone else. Also communicates my thankfulness. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 says this, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. As Americans, and if you've never been outside of this country, you may not really truly understand this. As Americans, we are the richest people on earth. Our poor people in this country are richer than at least 70% of the rest of the world. We are very abundantly blessed in this country. Even people that are struggling financially often have so much more than people that have and live in other countries. That even the poor are exhorted not to trust in riches. You know, sometimes the poor have more trouble with riches than the rich do, just differently. Verse 18. Let them, that would be the rich, do good that they may be rich in good works. God putting the good works above the riches themselves. Ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. God gives us everything we have, right? Everything we have is a gift from God. He also gives it to us so that we can enjoy it. You know, that's one of the realities, is that God blesses you with an abundance. Enjoy it. You know, go out and play golf. Invite me. I like to play golf too. You know, enjoy what God blesses you with. But notice what he says here. That you be rich in good works. That means do good with what God has given you. Willing or ready to give, willing to share. Are you ready to give and willing to share? If God has given you something, are you ready to share it with someone else? If you do, there's promises of blessings. And while it doesn't say it specifically, those blessings, obviously, if they're coming from God, must be good. And I believe they're blessings both for this life and for the next one. So when we're generous with others, it glorifies God and blesses others. Third reason, and maybe for most of us, this is the most important one. This is the one maybe that we're going to wrestle with the most. The third reason why we give is because it grows our faith. We should be generous because it grows our faith. We have to trust God to be generous. You have to trust God maybe more than you do to be generous. For a Christian, faith is the basis with which we live this life. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, what that means is that in all of life, we have two choices. We either can live by what we know, or we can live by what we believe. And they're not always the same. You know, sometimes as we study the Bible tells us things and says, this is what is true. This is what is real. But then we look at the world and the world sees it differently. The world has a different viewpoint, different thought, a different way of approaching it. And we have to make a decision. Do I do with this that I know by sight, what I can see, or do I live based on what I believe? And all of us have to make that choice. And the more often we live by this one over here, by faith, the more often it is pleasing to God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that it's by faith that we please God. By faith. A little example. Little. This is kind of like an almost insignificant example. Recently had somebody ask to borrow our truck, Kelly's truck, to move. Right? You know, we have two vehicles, mine and hers. You know, we only have the two. So, you know, by loaning out one of the vehicles, you know, is there a risk associated with that? And we knew that person. He's a brother in the church. And so, you know, we knew him, but, you know, we don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, is he going to take care of it? You know, is he going to wreck it? Is it going to have gas when it comes back? You know, is there going to be cheeseburger wrappers on the floor? Who knows? We didn't know that. What we did know is that we had it. God had given it to us. That truck was a gift from God. Yeah, we paid for it, but he gave us the money to pay for it. It was a gift from God. And it was available to be used by him for his glory to bless this other person. And so we did. We trusted God. Go. And it all turned out good. No cheeseburger wrappers. It was all good. It didn't matter what the end was. When it came time to make it, he said, "God, you know, this is yours. We believe that's what you. We believe you want us to let that person use our truck. It's your truck. Use it." Faith is what we believe about God or His Word that shows up in the way we live our life. Matter of fact, James will tell you in the book of James that if what you believe about God isn't showing up in the way that you're living your life, then your faith is not real. It's fake. It's dead. And so if your faith is real, it ought to be showing up. And one of the places it ought to be showing up is in generosity. We ought to be a generous people in all areas of our life. Faith either is always in one of three states, always. And it can move around from state to state. Three states. It's either declining, stagnant, or growing. It's always like that. Which one do you think God wants to be in all the time. Growing, right? He wants our faith to grow. Well, how long and why and all of that? Well, here it is. You know, God's plan is for your faith to grow until it is perfect. Perfect. Well, how do we know what perfection looks like? Well, thankfully, Romans tells us. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, that would be each of you, he also predestined, he decided in advance, to be conformed to the image of his son. God said that you will be done being perfected when your life exactly replicates how Jesus would live your life. Now, I'm guessing I'm standing up here a convicted sinner because my life doesn't perfectly reflect the way Jesus would live my life. I'm trying. And, you know, I'm trying Kelly's patience more than anything else usually. But we all ought to be trying to grow our faith moment by moment, step by step. In all areas of our life, generosity is just one of the areas that we ought to be growing to be more like Christ. Was Christ generous? As far as I can tell, he was it, man. There was no one more generous. Literally giving his very life. Until you're living your life like Jesus would live it, your faith needs to keep growing. Here's a challenge for you. This is what I've been wrestling with in my own faith. What are you choosing? I chose that word on purpose. Choosing to do in your life that demands more faith than you have right now. Now, life has a habit of sending us things, doesn't it? You know, sending us things that, you know, that I don't have enough faith for this, God. And God says, I know. That's why I sent it. So that you can grow in this area. But my challenge to you is, what are you choosing to do that requires more faith? What are you adding to your life? And here's why I say that. Here's how we do it. We get going in life, and anything we do, the first time you do it, it needs faith, right? And the first time I stood up here, you know, or anywhere in front of a group of people and shared God's word with them, how much faith do you think I needed? Yeah, I needed a lot of faith to do that. Now, I don't know what the number is, but I'm guessing I'm in the 2,000th time I've done this. How much faith do you think I need today to do this? Not much. Not much. Now, understand something. I'm not saying I'm coming up here and doing this in flesh because I depend upon God and the work of the Holy Spirit to actually do this. But actually, it does not demand faith. I could do it without God. I try not to, just in case you're wondering. And so I've wrestled with this myself. Rick, what are you choosing to add to your life that demands more faith? That if you don't have more faith, you're not going to do it. You can't accomplish it. And I would challenge each of you. What's in your life that is going to cause your faith to grow? Not because it was forced upon you. God will send those things to your life so that your faith grows because it has to. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, curl up in a ball and cry like a little girl. God wants you to choose to grow in your faith. Deliberate, intentional acts that grow your faith. Saying, God, I think you want me to do something. I think you want me to do X, Y, or Z. But right now, today, I don't know how I'm going to do that. God said, you try, and I'll help you to grow in your faith until you can. Yeah, it's like anything. It's like going to the gym. You know you need to do it, right? You know, we need to exercise. You know, you can, you know, unless you're, you know, one of those, like, one in a million people that never has to exercise because, like John, you know, he's just perfect all the time. You know, we need to do it. We need to exercise. You know, if you've ever been to the doctor, that's always one of the three things he tells you. You need to eat better, you need to lose weight, and you need to exercise. Okay, maybe that's just me. But you can have a membership. You can have a membership to Fitness 19 or CrossFit. But unless you're going, what does it accomplish you? And even if you go, right? And, you know, these, you know, a couple of you guys here that are into that industry, even if you go, if you don't have a purpose and objective in going, you can go. You can go and get on the treadmill every week and you can be a world-class treadmill walker. But unless you have something you're trying to accomplish that's bigger than you, you're not going to grow. You're not going to get where you actually want to get to. Giving is one of those areas where we can grow our faith. And in fact, I believe God would call us to grow our faith. Being a generous people. Christians ought to be the most generous people on earth. I believe most of them are. I think it's something that kind of just stirs up in us. But we need to understand why it's important. So, the idea, we need to be generous. It glorifies God, blesses others, and grows our faith. Now, I want to talk about this thing we do on Sunday morning, because I think that's important. It's an element, it's a facet of this thing called generosity. Okay, we're supposed to be generous people, and it should show up in every single part of our life. Everywhere you see us, you ought to see us being generous with whatever we have, whatever, whether it be our time, our talents, our treasures, any of those things we have, we ought to be willing to give, ready to share, the Bible tells us, those things, whatever they are. But we do this thing, where when somebody comes up and they talk about this idea of giving and make an invitation to give. They invite the ushers to come forward and this whole kind of, thing happens. What's that all about? I want to talk about the two things of how we describe it typically when we do this. We talk about two things often. We talk about tithing and offering. It's time to collect the tithes and offerings. And I want to talk about that. Some of you, I'm believing that God wants to grow your faith in this area. Every week, one of the men comes up and talks about it. And some of those terms, both tithes and offerings are used in both parts of the Bible, Old and New Testament. Some would like to say to us, no, that's all Old Testament. Yeah, shut up. Read your Bible. Sorry, I'm sure I just offended somebody. Darn it! Sometimes I let stuff out that just ought to stay in my mouth. The word tithe might not be one that you're familiar with. It might be foreign to you. It literally means a tenth. That's what it means, one tenth. And it was commanded to the Jews back in the earliest pages of the Bible. It was commanded that the Jews would give a tenth of their increase to God. Leviticus 27, verse 30, which is like the second place that the word appears in the Bible. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. That God told the Jews that when the land provides for you, it gives you an increase, that a portion of it belonged to God. It was His. And they were not to keep it for themselves. They were to give it to God. Now, the way they were commanded to give it was to give it to the priests. And then the priests would use it to take care of the temple and the tabernacle, and they would use it to provide for their daily needs. That was how God provided for the priesthood of the Old Testament religious system. For modern Christians, this is your regular giving to the work of God. That's what the tithe is. It's all about your regular giving. We believe as a church that those who are benefiting from the work of the ministry ought to be helping to provide for the work of the ministry. It's a logical thing. If God is blessing you, if God is ministering to you in the church, through the church, through the ministry of the church, that you ought to be helping the ministry to continue on. Your giving provides for this beautiful building. Your giving also provides and allows me to commit myself to the ministry full time, to the work of the church full time. That's where that all happens. We also take a portion of what is given and we use it for outreach, for reaching out to the community, communicating the message of Jesus Christ out to the rest of the world. And we also take another portion of it and we use it to reach out to people around the world. We support the orphanage in Indonesia and a growing ministry, Shine the Light Ministry in Indonesia. We have ministries in Israel that we're supporting and others that we support sporadically. So that's part of how that work, that giving is used. While the word tithe means a tenth, Christians are not limited to that amount. You can give as much as you want. I love that. You can go 20, 25%, 50%. Where that was a joke. You can, but the point is that you're giving this idea of a tithe. Don't get wrapped up in the number. It's about you giving regularly to the work of God as an act of faith. You know, we believe that, you know, the way you do it, and it's the way we practice, you know, on a personal level. And just so you know, I have no idea what anyone gives in this church except me. I deliberately separate myself from the giving aspect of it. We have other people that handle that. I don't have any contact with it at all. Zero. And the people that are handling it will tell you that. And in fact, if you try to give me money, I get all weird and freaky. Don't give me no money. Don't give me no money. That's what the blue box is for. Go put it in the blue box. I'll tell you. Anybody ever heard that from me? Go put it in the blue box. It freaks me out, touching God's money. But every time I get paid, very first thing we do is we give to God. We give to God. We've made a practice of giving a percentage of our income for many years now. We believe that's what God calls us to regularly support His work in the church. I benefit from the ministry of this church just as much as anybody else does. And so I make a habit of supporting the ministry of the church just as I would expect anybody else to in the church. Offerings are a little bit different. As you look at offerings as they're described to us, both Old Testament and New Testament, they were more sporadic. And they came as a result of need or just the desire of the giver. And so we see both kinds. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, you remember, he collected an offering to take to the church in Jerusalem because the church in Jerusalem was suffering. And so he went all through the church of Asia and he collected an offering to take to that because there was a need. We see that happening in the church all the time. A need will rise up. A group of people will say, hey, there's a need. And they get together apart from the church and they collect what would be described as an offering to give to this person in need or this particular need that arises. Others in the Old Testament, especially, we see thanksgiving offerings. We see just offerings of joy. They just give because it just feels like something I ought to do. And they do it. The tithe and the offering, we see them as two separate and distinct things, and we think they should be kept separate. That you, when we give, we ought to have a regular amount that we give, and if God calls us to give extra, then we give extra. You know, again, it's about being generous. You know, not being religious about it. You know, the moment it becomes religious, you stop being generous. You know, how much should I give God? I always love that. I always get that. How much is the right amount? How much? That's a very personal question. Very personal. And let me tell you how to answer that question. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. I'm going to give you three questions to ask yourself so that you can answer that question on how much. Let's go back to the beginning of the message, the traits or the reasons to be generous. Remember, glorify God, bless others, and grow in faith. So my first question to you is, how much do you want to glorify God? I decide how much I want to give based on how much I want to glorify God. The more I give in relation to the spirit of generosity that God's trying to stir up in me, you know, if I'm giving in faith, then the more I give, the more I am blessing Him, the more I'm glorifying Him. Second question, how much do you want to bless others? The ministry of the church, we exist to do all three of those things. That's what we exist. You know, those three things, glorify God, bless others, and growing in faith, come based on two sections of Scripture. the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. You wrap up all of the Bible in those two areas of Scripture. The Great Commandment, love God and others, and the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Grow people in their faith. Bring them to faith and grow them their faith. How much do you want to bless others? And the third thing, how much do you want your faith to grow? How much faith do you want to have? Because when we give and according to faith, in a way that it takes faith to give, because sometimes we're not giving in faith. You know, if it comes time the bags are being passed, you reach into your wallet, whoop, I got a 20, I guess that's what I'm giving. I got a 5 or a 100, 500. When was the last time everybody saw a $100 bill? A couple of you guys probably have one in your wallet right now. We're going to pass the bag in a minute. Just hold on. Let me tell you something. As a church, we don't worry about the money. Well, I don't worry about the money. Andy does. It's his job. Which is not being paid for, by the way. When we pass those bags, it is an act of faith. 14 years we've been running around this place. We've been running around as a church, and God has taken care of us every single time we needed Him to. Every time. You know why we pass that bag? It's not for the church. It's for you. For you. Because God wants to invite you to be a part of His work. He wants you to bring Him glory. He wants you to bless others. He wants your faith to grow, and He wants you to be a part of the work that we're doing to grow the faith of others. Because let me tell you, as a church, the foundation of how we make our decisions is based on those three things. Will it glorify God? Will it bless others? And will help people's faith to grow, including our own. So when we pass those bags, that's what we're doing, is we're inviting you to be a part of what God wants to do in and through this church. And you will never hear us stand up here. Now, we believe we're doing this because we believe it's important for people to understand why we do the things that we do. You'll never hear us standing up here begging you for money. It's contrary to everything I believe about faith. I trust God to provide for us and to provide for this church. And He will continue to provide. And we hope He provides more so that we can do more. Because ultimately, that's how you do more, is because He provides through that. And so we're gonna do something we don't normally do. We're going to take the offering now at the end of the service. But I want you to take some time so the ushers can start getting ready for that. But before they pass the bags, I want you to spend a little bit of time with this. And Justin, you can come on up. We need, and we should do this every week, when it comes time to pass the bags, when it comes time to participate in the offering. Now, you may not be able to do it every week. You may not be able to participate every week. But you ought to take some time and reflect every week on those three things. You ought to be asking God, am I a generous person? Do I have a spirit of generosity that reflects your spirit of generosity? Am I generous? And if I'm not, how should I be generous? And again, we're not just talking about money. But it's a good reason, a good excuse for us to reflect upon it every week, because we do it every week, to reflect, am I generous? And does my giving glorify you? Do I have a desire to see others blessed through my giving? And does how much I'm giving reflect that desire? And does my giving cause me to depend upon faith? Do I need faith to give? Or am I just giving out of my abundance? You remember Jesus sitting in the temple area, watching people giving, people dropping in large sums of money. Remember that? Remember what he said? Little old woman comes up, drops in two mites, just a couple of pennies. And he says, all these others, they're giving out of their abundance. And I'm telling you, the way he said it was with disdain. But her, oh, her giving was precious. Because her giving glorifies God. Now, we don't know how it blessed others. Actually, I know how it blessed others because it blesses us. Every time we hear that story, it blesses us. But did it need faith? He says she gave out of her poverty. How much faith did she need to give everything she had to worship God? Oh, brothers and sisters, God is inviting us into this precious relationship with Him, to be a part of the work He's doing in the world around us. And I know we don't always remember that. We get so used to just, put it in the bag. We forget what we're doing. We're being a part of this great kingdom work that God wants to do. He wants to change the world, and He wants to invite you to be a part of that. Not just in your money, not just in that. But every time we pass those bags, you ought to think about that. I'm a part of what God is doing in this world. He's trying to change this world, and He's invited me to be a part of it. So we're going to reflect for a little bit on that. And then we're going to take the offering. And for those of you that are watching online, and for you here, you don't have to drop something in the bag. You know, we have the online giving. If you prefer to do it that way, do it that way. In fact, we've set it up so we can make it easy for you. If you want to just do recurring giving, you can do that. Make it easier and stuff. You know, I know someone. I'm not going to name him, you know, out loud, Philip Lancaster. But, you know, he remembers to give every Sunday morning as we're passing the bags. No, just playing. He's better than that now. He's growing. I know you forgive me. You know, whatever it takes. And use whatever tool you have to be faithful to God. And if it takes something like that, do that. But God wants you to be a part of what He's doing. We're going to take a moment. Just reflect on that. And then Randy's going to come up, and he's going to pray over the offering. And then we're going to close the service. So, Randy, just reflect.